Friends, I've had an odd day. I'm actually home right now. It's a little different this week. It's supposed to be live on the 405. But now it's live from the 5502. You know, fuck of me. It's my address. You know, I wasn't going to do a mic today. I had a weird day at work. It's been slow at the place. My boss comes in today. Sorry if this background noise. I got the fan on. It's going to get too hot in here. I hope it's not too loud. I don't know. I can't hear shit. But boss shows up, and nothing going on today. All this shit's going on tomorrow. But it was so slow, he actually, in a very gracious gesture, allowed me and my coworker to leave at 2:30, which was nice. Because today was the Jewish holiday, so there was less traffic. Got the Jewish holiday on Monday, won't find out until Tuesday. Beautiful. And I was tired as fuck because I did a mic last night at Westside, and I didn't get out until 11:30. And driving home, again, as usual, the 10 freeway over there in Santa Monica, all the on-ramps are closed. All the on-ramps closed. For whatever fucking reason, I don't know why this happens. Most of the time, I won't even bother, because that's the beauty part, is the only time you get any kind of fucking reprieve out here is at night. And, I mean, it's the only time I would even bother taking a 10, because it is always fucked up. And, all the on-ramps are closed. I'm like, great. So I got a 10. I mean, this is all the time. 9 times. So I got to go Wilshire all the way up to the 405. I know this sounds like that SNL fucking The Californians sketch. Modal. I get on, and I'm like, the 101 North at the 405 fucking on-ramp is closed. Dude, it has been closed on and off for the last month. I'm like, what? How do you... I know you've heard it. I apologize. I don't want to get Adam. I don't know, this is what this thing's here for, to blow off steam. Maybe you're new and you haven't heard my stupid rants before. You know, I'll keep it moving. Don't worry. It's just, how do you close the entire on ramp onto the 101 North? There's like hundreds of thousands of people that need to get on that tonight. Why is it closed again? It has been closed on and off for fucking months. I don't have to go that way. I take south. But I still see it. I'm just so annoyed. Like, how do you not leave one fucking lane open at least? Like, what the fuck are you guys doing? And why is it the same spots? Why is it the fucking 10 and that spot on the 101 always closed? And then the Van Nuys exit right when you get on the 101. Closed, and then you don't see nothing going on. I don't see fucking steam. I don't see those big, like, fucking Japanese anime-looking trucks with all the steam, like the Blade Runner vehicles and shit. I don't get it. It's fucking really frustrating. But anyways... where the fuck was I even going with this? What was the point? Oh, yeah, tired, so I came home and took a nap. So I'm driving home, and I knew that there wasn't going to be that much traffic on the freeway because it was a holiday. And I was just tired and out of it, and I just wanted Carl's Jr. chicken tenders, which I ate as I drove, and came home and took it. I've been taking killer nap. Here's a new segment called Things No One Cares About. I've been taking really long naps. I'm a nappy guy, and I usually take one around... 4 or 5, especially if I worked out the night before, because that's when it kicks in. That's when all my muscles hurt. And that's when I saw an ad in the local paper, and I take a nap, and it's usually like 10 to 15 minutes on the fucking dot, on the DOT, bitch. And I've been falling asleep for like 45 minutes to a fucking hour. I fell asleep for an hour in my parking lot at work the other day. I was like, what the fuck? Holy shit. But like, I don't even, now back in before, like, the past couple years, I would do that all the time. If I slept more than 20 minutes, I would wake up and feel like I just fucking landed on another planet. I'd be a mess for, like, an hour. And most of the time, it would fuck up my whole night. But you know what? And thinking back now, I think a lot of those were hangover naps. And that's why I was so, you know, I was at work hungover all day, and then I would take a nap. And that's why I would fall asleep so hard from that. I mean, I think that might have made it worse. It exacerbates it. There's not a word or a concept that you cannot illuminate for me. But yeah, holy shit, I think my body's acclimating to the amount like my body's like, this is just a thing now. Like, this is how much coffee is going to go into us because I fucking just drink. But I don't drink cream or sugar anymore. Isn't this fucking riveting? This is great stuff. I'm in a weird mood because I just did two mics in a row. Hey, dude. Two mics is fucking exhausting, man. They're both local. I finally did that Robin Hood British pub over in Sherman Oaks. And it's a restaurant, and they have a little side room, like a kind of a banquet area, where they just have a mic. Hey, dude. And the light, it's just like the house lights are on. And there's like fucking 10 people in there. If you put both of the mics I just did together, it equaled about 18 people. I did the fourth wall over there. And it's so, just the droning. They might even not be that bad of comics, but to sit through two mics is just exhausting. Like I can't listen to people just stand there and talking to, even at real shows, even when I go to the Comedy Store, I can't. The show starts at 9. I got to be out there by 11:30, 12 at the most. I can't take, it's this weird thing. I don't know what it is. It like overwhelms like my brain. But like if it's more than like 3 hours of just people talking into a microphone, I just start like bugging out. I'm like, I can't take it. I got to go. It's like sensory overload. It's really weird. Like it gets me really antsy. Like I got to get the fuck out of there. It's like, I hate it. So like two open mics is tough. And like there was a third I could have went to, but I was just like, I've been fucking just grinding my balls off. I haven't had a fucking run like this. I think I'm going 8 fucking days straight at the moment. Something like that. And I have never written this much stuff in such a short time in the fucking 2 years I've been doing this. Well, I guess a year and a half. If you take down all my downtime and my quits, it's really been a year and a half. But every fucking day writing like... I'm just getting lucky. I don't know. There's just stuff is just... Like I'm like the joke stock market is in it's a bear market, not a bull market right now. I'm just lucky because I'm having those thoughts. Sometimes I can't think of shit for weeks, time weeks. But I've just been writing like fucking crazy. And just today I wrote like 2 minutes on fucking stupid Westworld, and I went to try it out. And I can't tell for a fourth mic because it's a little bit of a loaded deck. Because now I got a couple friends in there, and there's usually only a couple people in there anyways. So I think they might have laughed out of, maybe like out of politeness. It's tough. I don't know. They seemed funny to me. I watched the second episode of Westworld. And like, what's the deal? What is the deal with the whores on that show? They're not very hot. They're all around. I'm not like doing my bit on the air. I'm just saying, these are like the thoughts that inspired the bit. They're all like 37 fucking years old, and they're all skinny. They're not curvy, or they're not even particularly attractive. I'm like, well, if you're going for real, I don't know who cast the show. Like, I guess if you're going for realism, maybe that's what they look like. But it's like, this is a fantasy world they're going to, shouldn't they look like the front page of like X videos? They should be fucking all smoking hot with big fucking busty fake tits. They're mostly just going there to fuck. Why didn't they just make it Sex World? Like why bother with all this fucking nonsense with the West and everything, shooting everything up with a big desert expanse and all this crap? Just make a hotel. The minute they get off the train on the show, they go right for the fucking whorehouse. Like, where else would you go? You gotta fuck. And then who cleans out the fucking those things? So you wouldn't not come in them, right? Now they haven't at least, what's it called? Ex Machina explains, the guy kind of explains how the robot pussy works, but they don't on this show, or at least they haven't yet. So you know they're coming in the fucking robot. So someone's got to clean that. It doesn't just evaporate. One of the techs have to take it apart and clean it out. It's like a fleshlight, you know? Who's doing that? That has not been explained yet. That's an awful job. Is that where you start? Are you the fucking, are you like the intern starts out cleaning the whore bot? I don't know. But, yeah, man. It's been a rough motherfucking, Oh, I tell you, it's been fucking brutal. The brutality you heard in the last episode has continued, and I'm just like, I don't know. I'm just like a fucking machine. I'm like, all right, fucking throw that out. Write another fucking 3 minutes here, and shit's just like pouring out of me. I'm just throwing every fucking thing. My poor friends in my group texts have suffered through all my fucking stupid jokes that I send to everybody as a goddamn sounding board. But it's just, I don't know. You get in that mode where you're just writing non every fucking, I'm just writing shit constantly. And 90% of it has not been working. I've just really been fucking taking a beating. But last night at Westside, I had my first good fucking set in a long time. I fucking did pretty good. You know what's funny? I won't spend a ton of time on this. That's gonna be this episode. Just let me like fucking go through. If something's boring the shit out of you, I won't spend too much time on one thing. All right, that's the Luke pledge. The fucking, so I recorded the set, and like, the experience of time on stage compared to when you actually watch or hear your performance is so fucking different. I'm telling you, it's like when you're on stage, it would be like even as, you know, I've done it quite a few times, but like, all I can describe it is like, if you're standing there, but your head is in literally outer space. Like if they brought the atmosphere down all the way to the ground, and then put the atmosphere right at your neck, and literally like your head would be looking out into like the universe, but your body is standing on stage. You're not even like, you're just in this fucking weird zone. And it's the very first, I wrote a fucking bit about in traffic yesterday, and I was pretty sure it was going to do okay. Well, I don't know. I can't even say that anymore because I feel that way a lot. I'm just like, there's no way this can't fucking work, and then it won't. I'm like, that was such a fucking well-written bit. Like, I don't know. Like, I can picture, like, fucking Leno saying it on a Tonight Show monologue, and I know it would get a fucking laugh. But it doesn't when I do it. I mean, Luke, you're not Jay Leno. I mean, who do you think? Yeah, you're not some kind of king of comedy. No, I know, but I'm just saying, context-wise, and people will read my stuff and be like, oh, that's fucking really funny. It's going to kill, and then it gets a fucking zero. I don't know. Luke, maybe it's just your delivery. I don't know. Maybe you're not delivering it right. I mean, yeah, I'm not up there like, oh, guys, you know, I'm not like fucking going, you know, I'm delivering it conversationally as possible. It's not, you know, real stiff. I guess it could have a little bit more life in it, but I still, whatever. And then there's, it's further exacerbated, the conundrum, because they could be great bits. They would probably work on a real crowd, but you don't know at an open mic because it's just a bunch of other comics then that don't want to fucking hear your shit and aren't paying attention. You know, it's really weird. It's so frustrating, man. It's so much fucking work just to get a tiny fucking smidgen of progress. It's like you're a fucking one of the cast members of Oliver, and you're begging for, please, sir, and you're begging for scraps outside the fucking, they're like, I got away with ya, go on with ya, and the cop comes with the baton and waves it at you because you just want some scraps. Like that's how it works for, like, please laugh. And then finally someone's like, all right, I'll go a piece of chicken. I can't finish. Here you go, your little wife. And they give it to you. And you're like, oh, that's the laugh. You're like, oh, I got a laugh. There you go. One worked. There's a keeper. There's a minute and a half of material out of the fucking 14 minutes I've written in the last 8 days. Yay. That's the kind of fucking fight you got out there trying to fucking sling jokes and shit and make people laugh. I don't know. I don't know why. I think it boils down to fucking, this is an imaginary interview I'm having with somebody asking me why I do comedy. And I think, like, I'm too fucking curious to know if it'll work. Like, I'll think of jokes and shit all fucking day. I've done it my whole life, I guess. Never planning on telling them I'm stand-up, but I would just think funny shit and be like, oh, that's, I have no one to tell that to, and it's probably pretty funny. And just, I don't know, just so many years of doing it, I gotta know if it fucking works. I think that feels like the thing that's driving me more than anything else, besides my car. you didn't think I was going to say that, you son of a bitch. You know, I thought of a fucking joke. By the time I went up at this place, Robin Hood, there was literally three people in there. It was like the host, me, and like two other fucking people. And I'm just like, you guys want to hear a fucking terrible joke? I seriously thought of this. I don't know. I have no idea where it came from. I said, do you know what Leonardo DiCaprio said to his friends before they watched The Revenant? He said, it's a long movie, but bear with me. Bear with me. And there's just a bunch of people just like, with their, like, leaning on their fist on the table, on their, just their cheek all mashed up, and they're just staring at me. I wish I didn't tell you, I wish I didn't tell them that. But what the fuck do you want from me? Let me see, don't worry, I'm almost done. I'm sure people probably really hate my stupid stand-up roundup. I don't know, this podcast is changing because I've changed, like, fucking, this half of the year has just been so crazy. Like, not drinking has changed me fucking so drastically, like, really. And you know what I realized? At this point, most of the fucking sex I was having was probably 80% of the time was alcohol-fueled. Like, I'd just be drunk and horny and just want to fuck. And, like, I'm just not. So I'm not getting out in these, like, woman adventures anymore. Like, that was a big chunk of the fucking show for years. was about dates and stuff like that and complain. But it's just, I've been so fucking nose deep in my shit of just writing and working and doing all the stuff that I don't even fucking, like, getting laid's like a distract. It's like a waste of time. I'm like, well, I can be doing something more productive. Like, it's gotten to that. So I got to try and, like, somehow shift the show and fill. My weeks have been a little less adventurous. So I got to try and, I don't know, it's hard to be fucking uber entertaining for an hour fucking straight, man. If not, a lot happened. Or the same stuff has been happening. I've just gotten into a rhythm of just working out, doing stand-up, coming home, watch Game of Thrones. That's like 2 fucking weeks straight. That's all I've been doing. You know, this weekend, I'm on season 4, Game of Thrones. And the best thing that happened to me all weekend was that fucking King Joffrey died. This, I don't know if you don't watch the show, but they got this kid who's this spoiled little shit that becomes the king. And this, the fucking casting of this is so perfect. This fucking kid they got to play this part is so perfect. Like, his face is just smashable. You want to fucking strangle this little cunt. He kind of looks like, almost has like a Justin Bieber thing to him. I'm telling you, it's some of the fucking best casting I've seen in anything in a long time. And he is one of the most hateable characters I have ever. This fucking kid did such a good job. I haven't hated anybody this much since Fassbender in 12 Years a Slave. And his wife, who was like the most reprehensible character I've seen in anything in probably fucking 10 years, where I just was like fucking, I watch a movie and just seethe. Like, this guy is such a fucking soulless bastard that just deserves the worst fucking thing. Now, Fassbender, well, spoiler alert if you're in Game of Thrones, but Fassbender obviously got away with it in the movie, but King Joffrey gets fucking poisoned, and I was like, that, I'm telling you, because he's on for a couple seasons, and I'm like, I can't wait until this little fucker gets killed, and then he gets poisoned and dies a really good, man, it was so real, it was a very realistic, I mean, not that I've ever seen a lot of people poisoned, but it sure seems like what it would look like. It was fucking brutal, and I was like, thank God that little fucker died. Ugh. And then his stupid mom, Queen Cersei, with that stare, like that smile that just cuts through. She's got that fucking sideways smile. Oh, I want to fucking smash her face in. Oh, she's so fucking hateable. I can't stand her. She's such a cunt. But that and the part, my favorite thing of all, because there's like 27 different fucking characters in the show. It really takes a while to get going. Because I almost quit. The first season I was watching, I was like, I don't even know if I like, this is just kind of fucking dumb. And then it slowly catches on. But my other favorite storyline is that big giant dude that defected from the king with the side of his face burned. And then the little girl, what's her name? Arya Stark? The little girl. And then she starts like, it's almost like the professional in like medieval times. He's like showing her how to kill. Because she was like this kind of like a little innocent girl. But then she's got to survive because he's taking her across the like, across the dangerous countryside full of like all kinds of mystical creatures and fucking rogues and brigands and violent folk, robbers. You know, robbers, brigands, they're not around so much. Now you just kind of walk through the woods. You don't see much. Maybe, you know, you see a deer. Maybe you see a homeless guy or something got lost. But back then, you know, you saw humanoid kind of monsters. You saw fairies. People trying to rob you, steal your gold, this kind of shit. You don't have to worry about that anymore. But, yeah, they're getting all kinds of shit. Now she's starting to fucking kill. Oh, I love that little storyline. They're great because, like, they kind of hate each other. But, like, and this dude is just heartless and just has no conscience whatsoever. But, like, he showed at least some semblance of emotion for this girl. It's fucking great. Sorry, I'm going on, but motherfuck that King Joffrey. Just, like, Google image search King Joffrey. Or Prince Joffrey, Joffrey, and just look at this fucker's face. You just want to fucking smash him. Oh my god! That kid was, I guess in real life he's super nice too, but dude, that fucking, they did a great job. Anyways, I vacillated away from this, but I just wanted to touch on it. So I had a weird. It was my boss comes in when it's slow, and this guy just fucking hangs out and like there's nothing to do. I mean, it's been slow for weeks. Tom Weeks, and there's just nothing to fucking do. And he'll come in and just hang out on his computer, and we're like, why is he here? I don't understand why he's there. He could do all he does, he'll watch shit on his computer and just make nonstop phone calls to people on his cell phone all fucking day. And he's almost got like a fucking not like almost Asperger's-y thing with cameras. He's obsessed with like cameras, and he's such a fucking tech geek for camera stuff. And he'll just call people up all day. Hey, did you see the new blah 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 system coming out for the 4K 2K upgrade with the double LUT and the fucking? I'm just like, oh my god, oh my god. He just all fucking day that this guy. And I'm like, I don't get why you're paying us to be here to run. Isn't the point for you? You're paying us so we can run this for you, and you don't have to really be here. Like, there's nothing going on. Like, why don't you just stay home with your fucking, with your wife and your kid? Because he really dotes on his kid. I'm like, do you really be home with your kid? You're not even fucking doing anything here. Except making us fucking, making it awkward and hard for us. It's fucking miserable. And then, like, he's, how do I describe this guy? He's a smart, he's a techie guy. He's like a smart guy, but he's another one of these guys I always talk about. He's really into movies, and I always want to talk with him, or he'll bring up movies and we'll start talking about them. And he's one of these fucking guys that is such a yeah butter. Everything that you bring up, there has to be a yeah but, no matter how valid your point. I could have had the fucking conversation about him. It's about like Marathon Man and something I've been saying for fucking 15 years since film school, and people be like, oh yeah, it's a good point. This fucker will always have to disagree with me and take it some other way. Yeah, but then they got the guy at blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you're just fucking arguing to argue with me. Why do I bring that out in people so much? I don't know what the fuck. It drives me crazy, especially when it's boring, because I would love to sit here and talk about fucking movies. That's all I ever talk about. Anyways, and I can't with him because it's so fucking frustrating. He always knows something better, some other better angle. And whatever you just said isn't good enough. He's got a better way. It's like, oh my god, fucking jump in a fucking fire. Like, I mean, get in a fire, like just jump up and down in a little bit and then jump out, like so that your sneakers melted a little bit. But that's fucking aggravating. So, yeah, man, I don't know what's going on with this place. It is fucking really slow. Really fucking slow. And the business model's a little fucked up. And the guy's perception, he really sees the world through... He really sees the world through rose-colored glass. I can't, I'm sitting down. I can't do my Nicholson right. I'm almost laying on the couch. He's a little too optimistic. The Emperor does not share your optimistic appraisal of the situation. Remember Return of the Jedi? Richard Devlin efforts. I hope so, Commander, for your sake. The Emperor is not as forgiving as I am. Lord Vader, this is an unacceptable visit. How great is that? Opening a fucking Return of the Jedi is fucking awesome when he lands. And he comes off that shuttle. There's a huge assembly in the fucking deck of the Death Star with all the troops lined up. And then he comes off that. The entire sequence is so fucking well edited and well. And just the angle, all the fucking different angles they use and the timing. And then him and the fucking commander. He Vader walks off the fucking Tidarium and they just walk down that red carpet through all the soldiers and they're having a to and fro. But it's just so, it's so fucking, the timing of the cuts. And like the choice of the shots and like the amount of time they spend in each one, it's such a fucking great. Return of the Jedi is so fucking over. It's got fucking Ewoks in it. It's so underrated. It was such a great fucking conclusion to those three movies. It was the it's the only movie where I really, really liked Darth Vader. The other ones, he's just kind of like, you know, in Empire, they gave him a little bit more to do when they developed his character. The third one is like all about fucking Darth, and it's just so. There's so many little things that he does. There's so many great choices made by the guy, even the guy's in a costume. There's just these little fucking things that give him, if you really, I mean, I've probably seen it 200 times. And it's like, if you really watch it, there's little tells throughout the whole movie that where Vader's starting to crack and he's starting to lose his fucking evil, you know what I mean? It's really cool. One of the best is, whatever, who fucking cares? Nobody knows, I doubt anyone's sitting here watching Return of the Jedi over and over again, but that opening is awesome. How did I get on that one? Okay, well, I guess I'll keep going on that. I watched Force Awakens the other night, the latest Star Wars, the J.J. Abrams one, and I haven't seen it since last year. And really left me underwhelmed. I saw it four times in the theaters, and I loved it. And by the fourth time, I was like, yeah, it's good. It's got every time there'd be another. It was like fucking swimming in the Star Wars J.J. Abrams pool. And every time I turned around to do another lap, someone threw another little 5-pound weight on me. And it was getting harder and harder to fucking swim. And I would notice more and more things that bothered me. And now, not watching it for like a year, I was fucking, it's not holding up well at all. And I was really like fucking, I'm like, I don't think I need to watch this again for like a really long time. And I never realized how, once I kind of stepped away, I guess, let some time go by, it really feels like a fucking very slapped together movie. It feels like it was put together by a fucking committee. Like it was screened 800 times for fucking test audiences. And like, it just feels kind of heartless. It feels a little soulless, that movie. Really, honestly, it just feels like it almost just felt obligatory. Like even the Han is the best part of the whole thing. I'm so happy to see fucking Han Solo again. But the scenes with him and Leia just seem fucking kind of forced and not really, I don't know. It's really fucking bothering me. And it's really, I know it sounds retarded, but it's like, I have the rest of my life to watch that movie. And like knowing that I'm not going to enjoy it like I did the first, because the first time you see it, you're just like, oh, it's just, you can't even handle the spectacle of it. You're like, oh my God, I can't fucking believe this is happening. And then when you really start to break, it doesn't really hold. I might worry about the Henry. You might fold under questioning. It starts folding under questioning. The more scrutiny you give to it, it's like, it's really kind of a fucking mess. It's not like the plot is just, I notice there's so many plot holes in huge chunks of story that could explain with one sentence of expository dialogue that it's just like a bad patch on a plot hole. And you're like, wait, what? And then you go back and you're like, why didn't they do this? And then watching it multiple times, I'm like, oh, they tried to fix that glaring mistake with one fucking line later on in the movie. Like, just a lot of stuff that doesn't really make sense. And it just, I don't know. The main characters are just kind of, I don't know. It didn't fucking, Kylo Ren ruled. I loved him more than anything else. I loved the angle they took on him, that he's kind of like a faker and he's really just like a fucking, like a petulant teenager with a fucking mood swings. And I love, I know a lot of people, oh, he's a fucking crybaby. I'm like, I like that. I like the whole thing about him. He had a lot of layers to him. And I love seeing Han Solo again, but even the C-3PO stuff, I don't know. It's fucking sad. It really bums me out. I hope the next one's better. I know Rogue Squadron's going to be fucking great. And everyone keeps saying that like the next one is like the Empire in the series. And the original trilogy, the first one was always I never cared for it much. It was always my least favorite. That was Empire and Jedi, man. So I'm hoping it gets turned around. But man, I was like shocked how much I didn't really care for it. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, I don't know. Jay, it just feels too corporate, too Disney-fied. I don't know. I saw this thing. So Lady Gaga is going to perform at the halftime show this year. And she's saying, already got people worrying because she claims she's going to really push the envelope. I'm like, do you have to push the envelope at the fucking halftime show of the Super Bowl where people are watching with their fucking kids? Do you really got to be outrageous and sexual? Can't you just fucking get up and do your dumb songs? Everyone's going to fucking see your pussy or whatever the fuck. Like, for Christ's sakes, like, just fucking behave yourself. Do that at your fucking, do it at the MTV Awards or something where it's part of the fucking, part of the whole deal. But the Super Bowl, what do you think? You're fucking, wow, you're so controversial. I can't believe you're going to upset the fucking majority of what the fucking Midwest working class Americans. Jeez. Way to really set the world on fire. That fucking annoys the shit out of me. Just fucking stop, cunt. Same thing with that stupid Miley Cyrus. She just got to run around like she's such a fucking whore all the time with her fucking pussy hanging out and her just fucking everything, and everything's some kind of phallic fucking interpretation. It's like, oh, we got it. You love dick. Enough. Can't you fucking act like a fucking, I know I sound like your dad, but I'm just saying, it's like, do if you're going to do that, fine, but do you have to do it every time, everywhere? Like, you know, go out to the club and have the paparazzi follow you and grind on some fucking dude on the dance floor and pinch his helmet. I don't know. I don't know what these fucking people do anymore. Remember last, real quick. So the grab him by the pussy thing with Trump. I mean, this is just more just fake outrage. I can't believe he said that. I am a pop. Like, and then the worst is I love when men come out and these fucking lying fucking fags. I have never used language like that. I am appalled that this is every fucking guy talks like this. This is every fucking locker room. It's every fucking factory lunch table where there's fucking men working. Do you really think he just walks up and grabs women in the put? I mean, don't, you would have heard something by now, for Christ's sakes. Like, he's fucking around. Like, people say shit. Everyone says way worse shit than this. Like, my husband would never say it. Like, yes, he would, lady. I'm sure he says way worse. He probably makes fun of your fucking flabby tits and your fucking cottage cheese ass. Shut the fuck up. I don't know. It just fucking, it's just such fake controversy. Like, if you're offended by what he said, fine. But just the thing, everyone's like, and then people are turning it into assault and then rape. Well, he's a rapist. Like, on Twitter and shit, it jumped to a sexual assault and rape because he joked about grabbing a woman. You could just, even in the context of how he says it, and then what, Billy Butch got fired? For what? What's he supposed to do? Go, oh, Donald, I'm offended. What, are you supposed to stop him from talking? I mean, like, it was a hot mic. They weren't rolling. They were sitting around getting ready to go out, and they were just bullshitting on the thing. It's just fucking, so, I mean, if you hate Trump, hate him, but just to act like you're so appalled, like, I never thought that, man, like, with your fucking, your finger touching the bottom of your lip. Like, I didn't know men talk like this. Stop it. Fucking stop. Silly. I forgot about one random memory about that movie Red Belt last year. Or last episode, sorry. So Ricky Jay, who I love, he's one of the most famous magicians fucking of all time. He's in, you know him mostly from Paul Thomas Anderson movies. He's in Magnolia, and he's in, it's a real film, Jack, from Boogie Nights. You know, he's a cinematographer guy, Boogie Nights. And he's a really famous magician and shit. And there's a great documentary on him on fucking Netflix. It's like, I forgot the name of it. I don't know, Google Ricky Jay documentary, but it's fucking great. It's pretty new. It came out in the last couple of years. But that guy's fucking astounding. He's got a great story. But he's like really good friends with Mamet. And Mamet puts him in tons of shit. He's in Red Belt. So, like I told you, it was in that Long Beach Coliseum thing and shit, like a big golf ball. And, so there's all the whole thing is circular, and there's just bleachers going all the way up for rows and rows. And if you're shooting on one side of the stage, you could cut around the other side underneath the bleachers going all the way around the kind of the fucking building. But like, no one was really ever under there because everyone would be, you know, over to one side. So the whole other side wouldn't be being used. But so sometimes just to run around, you cut underneath the bleachers. And the one time I was going around, but no, you know, you'd see like a person kind of wandering around, but there's no one ever back there. I can't believe I forgot to talk about this. Ricky Jay is huge. I mean, he's really in fucking bad shape. I mean, this is almost fucking 10 years ago already, but he was really overweight. He looked like shit. His face was all fucking red. And he's under the bleachers by himself, and he's leaning holding himself up by one of the fucking bars. And he's breathing really heavy. And I was like, you all right, man? He's like, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's like panting. And I was like, I go, dude, you want a chair, man? You want a water or something? He's like, no, no, no. He's like, and then I start walking. He's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Get me a chair. And I'm like, holy shit, man. He's in bad shape. I should get the fucking medic. So I run over maybe like, I don't know, 20 yards. And I grab a chair. And he sits down. And I go over and get him a water. He's like, thanks, kid. And I'm like, he's like, no. Like, you could tell he was like embarrassed. And it was like, I'm like, you want anything else, man? You need want me to get anybody? He's like, no. Just let me sit for a minute. I think it was hot. I think it was like May or something, and it was hot in there. But he was wearing a suit. But yeah, he was. I thought he was fucking dying. I was like, Jesus Christ! But that was the time I helped Ricky Jay, got him water. But I got to talk to him. That's kind of a non-story. Sorry. Another grab him by the pussy. So De Niro comes out and he's like, Trump is a bully. He's a scumbag. I'd like to punch him in the face. It's like, De Niro, shut the fuck up. This guy's such an old bitch. He's such a dope. Have you ever seen him on like talk shows and shit? Like, he's such a boring drip of a guy. He just sounds like a fucking imbecile. He has like no fucking social skills. He's like just an inarticulate, bumbling dope. I mean, did you ever see like when Jimmy Fallon his first guest was De Niro, and he made it so fucking hard on him. He's such a monosyllabic ding-dong. He's going to come out and be like, oh, I want to punch Trump in the face. Like, why don't you punch your fucking agent in the face? You haven't made a good movie in 15 years. Do you just keep playing the same fucking embarrassing, doddering old fucking grandfather? Like, fuck you. Shut up, De Niro, you dolt. Shut up. Luke, the guy's a millionaire and he's a legend. I don't think he's that stupid. Maybe when he was younger, he was more smart. I don't know. But I haven't heard anything interesting out of that fucking guy in 20 years. He's a fucking... He's like talking to a fucking dock worker. I don't know. Yeah, sorry. This is kind of a fucking... This is... I knew this was going to be a weird episode. So on Saturday... Now, Thomas, my friend Thomas, helped me move this couch in here, right? Tree man. Famous tree man. And so I owed him a favor. So he wanted me to... A friend of his was shooting this thing. It was like a short... I guess they were like kind of doing like a Gus Van Sant shot-by-shot remake of Psycho. Only it's like... It was some obscure French New Wave director made this short. It's, I don't, I guess it's famous. I don't know. I didn't get that much information on it. But they needed me to play like a jogger. Pretty much like an extra in the scene. And we were going to shoot in Griffith Park at like 4 in the morning, right when the sun's coming up. And so I do it, and we get done at like 7:30 in the morning. This is like Saturday. So I come home, and I fucking I pass out, and I fucking go back to sleep until like 10 or 11. Now, most fucking, the last whole dozen weekends, pretty much, since I quit drinking, I get up at fucking 8 in the morning, and I'm fucking going all day. Both Saturday and Sunday, I get so much shit done. I just fucking, you know, busy. Self-imposed busy. Nothing particularly important. But, and I wake up and I'm fucking just horny. I'm like weekend horny. I don't know how to explain this, but it's just like you wake up on a fucking Sunday and I just want, I wish there was a service that they could just deliver a chick to your bed that you could just cuddle and fuck around with until you got super horny and fucked. I love that. It drives me fucking crazy. So it just so happens I wake up with a fucking hard on, and I'm hungry, and just all the right elements where I'm like, I want to, all like my fucking carnal desires are there. Junk food, fucking, I can't think of a third funny thing. Those weren't even funny. They were factual. Maybe they were slightly amusing. The handful fucking hits me up. And she's like, what are you doing right now? And I was like, I just woke up. I tell her the whole spiel. And so she wants to fucking come over. And she's like, well, I'm right in your neighborhood, so I was going to come say hi. And I was like, look at this fucking manna from heaven. And so she comes in, and I got to let her in the front. As I'm walking out to the door, there's a woman filling our mailboxes. It looks like she's being trained by some kind of manager guy. This fucking... No, I delivered mail. Okay, it's a fucking... out here in the desert fucking heat. It is an exhausting job where you have to work... You have to walk probably fucking 6 to 8 miles a day in the heat with a fucking 60-pound mail bag. And you got to move your fucking ass. It's no dilly-dallying. You can barely have enough time to finish your route. And there's fucking woman. She's 5'3" and had to have been 300 fucking pounds. She was fucking huge. And I'm like, how in the fuck? Why would they hire? I know why they have to. It's this fucking forced fucking diversity shit. Again, like they have to by law. She is physically incapable. She is a horrible candidate for this job. So, Luke, what about a man? Yes, a man too. If it was a guy, I'd say the same fucking thing. But it's just like, what? Why would you hire somebody this fucking... And she's just like, her mouth is like hanging open. She looks like she was fucking retarded. Her mouth's hanging open. And she's stuffing the mailbox, just all like, you can tell she didn't even give a shit. Like, she was just a big, lazy, fat fuck. I'm like, now everyone's got to put up with this. The mail, just like every municipality out here, as I complained about the freeways earlier, the mail is a disaster out here. I know because I work there. I don't know how anyone, I've had tons of mail misdelivered, lost, everything else. I don't know how anyone gets their fucking mail out here. You got a better shot at giving a fucking... Or raving a note and having it fly to fucking Westeros like in Game of Thrones. Then that's about the fucking mail accuracy. The Pony Express was better before the fucking West was settled. We get it, Luke. But I was so fucking annoyed. I complained the handful's gone. She's like, you're so fucking mean. I'm like, I don't look at this fucking slob. Like, this is a fucking, they hired this as a mailman? What the fuck are they doing? Whatever. So Handful comes over and like, again, more booze factoring it. It's daytime. And I'm noticing more now with these chicks that the booze not only helped me with my whatever annoyed me about myself that I didn't want to be seen naked or like parts of me that I fucking hated and was self-conscious about. Now you really notice all their flaws when you're sober, and more so in the daytime when you can see everything. And I was just so, I went from being so horny to like I know this sounds so fucking awful, but I said, this is all shit that happens to everybody, but they don't talk about it. Everyone thinks it or has had it happen to them, so shut up. Something's so fucking holier than thou. And when she got here, I grabbed her right in the pussy. All the flaws on her really showed, and I'm just like, I can't. It was bad. I could not fucking keep a hard on. It was terrible sex. Couldn't get it hard, and I was just like, I can't take her. If you put all these back to back of the times I've said this in the last, 2.5 years since I've known her, could probably fill 9 minutes of fucking material, but I'm just like, just talking. She's so boring to talk to. She's so pedantic. She sounds like a bad writer writes all her dialogue. It's like I'm stuck in a fucking, in like a soap opera. Like everything she says sounds so rehearsed and like weird and like phony. I don't know. She just, I hate listening to her talk. It's very odd. She's not like a real person. Like somebody programmed her. And I'm just like, she's like, get out of here. Just fucking leave. Which she did, thank God. She had to go. I feel bad because she's a nice girl, but I'm just not. The things that turn, now that I'm, I think sober really adds a different element to it. Because before I would be like, oh, I'm over her. But then I would get drunk and call her in the night. And now I'm not. I'm just like, I can't, the things that bother me about her and that turn me off about her physically, I can't get over. I won't get past that. I'm just like, I don't want to like have sex with her again. I really don't. We'll see how that goes. But like, yeah, I think it's really settled in now that I'm don't have any booze tricking me. And I felt terrible. And I was like, what am I going to, I don't know, man. I don't feel like this, the whole fucking thing. It's too much work. And then my sheets get all fucked up and I got to wash everything. Like I'm like a fucking old man. Like the trouble for getting like, you know, reasonably good pussy is just not worth it going through it for me. I'm just like, fuck it. I'd rather just go to bed. I'd rather just see Khaleesi's tits and jerk off and go to bed. I mean, not to her tits, but like go watch. You know what I'm saying? Where are we at here? All right, 42 minutes. I hate these ones. I hate when I don't have enough stuff to really fill. I like a good fucking hour and a half one that's super inspired. And this one's I'm dragging along a little bit. Sorry. I don't know if I, you know, the other thing too, like I listen back to old podcasts and it's just like one when I was on Looking Good Radio, it's a lot of it's just inside shit that no one would even know. And you know, I don't know. I have no idea how many people listen to this one that I have now. But they're at least nice. I don't know if I'm reaching anyone, anyone gives a shit, or if I'm like help, like you know, when you're sitting traveling, you're bored, or like say something's going wrong, that's annoying you, and then it's annoying me, and then you hear me talk about it, and you're like, yeah, that fucking happens to me too. I love that about podcasts for me, when it's something else you can relate to, and you're just like, fuck yeah, I'm not the only one going through that shit. I think maybe it's good for that, but like it's good for me to go. I'll go back, and it's like a fucking. Now that the years have ticked on. Like, I'll go back to podcasts we did in, like, 2011 and stuff I completely forgot about that I would have forgotten about forever because I don't keep a diary. But it's, like, a nice little time capsule. Like, to have a summation of what happened, all the crazy shit, like, 1 week, every fucking week for the last 5 years. And, like, it's kind of cool to go back and know what you were doing or I don't know. That was kind of a fucking stupid point. I don't know. I guess, listener, do a podcast for yourself. And then go back in a couple years and be like, well, I'm glad I talked about that so I can remember it. And so my family can hear it, be offended and hear about fucking how not close I am with them or whatever the fuck else. Whatever awful shit I've said. hang on. My notes. Fat mailman lady. Shut up, De Niro. King Joffrey. Yeah, I did all that. So Saturday night, I Ubered for the first time in a long time, and they keep updating the fucking app for the drivers, and it just keeps, you do it all off your phone. And they update this app every week, and I swear, it just keeps getting worse and worse. And the worst part is the fucking, the map thing, the directions that you follow just are more and more inaccurate, and just all over the fucking place. I don't know, it's so weird, it doesn't tell you when to turn. It takes you in all the worst fucking ways to go. It always takes you in the most congested streets. There's no... It's really fucking bad. It's awful. So I do the fucking mic on Saturday over there in Santa Monica. Now, it's now every week, I now more and more, I need something to beat myself up. I always need a guilt complex to beat myself up over something. And now it's not Uber driving because all of a sudden it's fucking good money again. They really drove the fucking rates way up for the driver. And it's a little bit busier, but I mean, before there'd be no fucking surge. You wouldn't be making any money. And now that they do these guaranteed searching, it's like 1.4 to 1.6 guaranteed for like from like 6 to 10 p.m. So like you're going to fucking, you know, you're going to make some money. And I'm like, fuck, I should be doing this because they're making it kind of worth your while again. So I'm like, all right, fuck it. I will Uber. So I get done with the mic at like 8 and I pick up these two jet broads over there in Santa Monica. So they're going over to, sorry, this is a lot of complaining about traffic. I apologize. I take them over to over by 3rd Street, and they're going by the airport, which is like, I don't know, 8-10 miles, something like that. And these, you goddamn motherfuckers, these guys are tearing up the intersection of La Cienega and Century Boulevard, which is like the main artery into LAX, which is always a fucking mess anyways. So they dug this gigantic hole right in the intersection. And all the traffic in every fucking direction of this intersection for like at least a mile out every single direction is now down to one lane. And it is a fucking complete shit show over there. I was like, what in the fuck? It's some of the worst traffic I have ever sat in. It took us an hour to get from if there was no traffic to get from 3rd Street to this air to the fucking hotel that was over on Century, would take maybe fucking 10 minutes. It took like an hour and fucking change. It was so bad, they got out and walked. They're like, oh, we're just going to get to the hotel down there about 100 yards. We're just going to get out and walk. I'm like, because you couldn't make a left. You couldn't make a right. Like the way the map would take me. And then the fucking map on my phone was just useless because the way it doesn't know there's construction there. So it's telling me the way to go, which would be fantastic if there wasn't a fucking crater. Like a fucking Transformer fight had just happened and one of their faces got smashed into the fucking street. You couldn't go any direction. I'm like, I was like, I don't know. I can't turn. I can't get down the street to get your home. I don't know what to tell you guys. I'm like, I'm really sorry. We would just sit and these fucking lights would change. I was fucking like bugging out. I couldn't. I was fucking losing my mind. I wanted to like Michael Douglas falling down and just get out of my car and just walk. Like, fuck it. Fuck it. I don't give a shit. Throw my fucking car in the ocean. I can't do this. Like the light would change and like, not one fucking car would move. You would just sit there for like 10 minutes, not moving. And then all of a sudden, like five cars would go. Which is like, what the fuck just happened? No one went. I had to get the fuck out of there. So I was going to do it now. Obviously, I was going to go all night. I was going to start at 8 and go till fucking 2, 3 in the morning because all the good money is from 12 to 2 on Saturday night. And like, it just fucked the whole rhythm of my night up. It was like an hour and a fucking half. And then I get out of there. So I got to drive all the way back across town back over here by my place. And then like I kept getting, I don't know what they're doing. So again, like I said, they keep changing this thing. So now you'll get these calls from way the, you used to only get calls in your area within like a, I don't know, 2-3 mile radius. And now I'm getting calls in like Encino and shit. And I'm like, it's fucking like 8-9 miles away. I'm like, what is this fucking about? Now I got to drive, like it would be a good rate. It'd be like 1.8 fucking times for the fare. And I'm driving, I see where the house is, and I'm like, this is fucking like 5 freeway exits up. How am I getting called? So, like, before, the first year I did it, it was busy as fuck, and the rates were good, at least for the first couple hours. I would make fucking $75 in the first 3 hours, 2-3 hours of the night, just around my apartment, just taking people from our place over the hill to Hollywood and back. That's what I did for the whole first half of the night. That's all I did. So I think they must have figured out that the driver that's pissing off the drivers that there's no one. Now I would, the last bunch of months, I would drive around for 25 fucking minutes and not get one person at like 8:30 on a Saturday night. No one's hit me up. No one. I'm like, what? This is fucking service is dying. Like, no, I don't know if people just aren't using Uber. I don't know what the fuck's going on. But now now the thing goes off nonstop. But then when you look, they're really far away. And I'm like, what is this fucking shit about? So like, I could not get into any kind of fucking like rhythm. I would have to drive so far. And I got to about 11 o'clock and I was like, I can't do it. Like, I fucking hate Uber driving now. I don't know. I'm just getting this weird thing, like, with this, the fucking age I'm getting. I mean, I'm careening towards 40. And there's stuff now that I would just, I would be able to talk myself. And now my body's like, no, no, I'm not doing it. No, no. Like it just happened with the, I mean, if it was just even 2 years ago, I would have taken that fucking barback position that I got offered. And now I'm just like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it. I'm not staying up all night and going through all this bullshit. And it's getting bad because there's not a lot of cushy side gigs here. It's like, well, I got to take... Ubering people isn't hard. It's mentally exhausting because I hate driving with people in my car. I'm so like nervous and I feel like they're watching my every fucking move, which they probably are. I would be if someone else was driving me. They put their life in my hands. And it's really kind of exhausting. It sounds like you're like taking a relaxing drive on a Sunday. And you're like, I'm nervous. I don't want to fucking like, I don't want to tap my, and I get really car sick easy. And I just always assume that other people do, even if, you know, I try to be considerate of the other car sickies out there like me. So I try not to fucking ride my brake too hard, like all this stuff. I'm like super dialed in when I drive and someone's in there. And it fucking, I get a headache. I get like a stress headache every time I Uber, every fucking time. Within 3 hours, I got to take aspirin. I already got a fucking pounding headache. Never fails. And I got to around 11 o'clock. I'm like, and I was already getting tired because I've been going to kind of bed early too. Isn't this great? What a thrilling podcast from an increasingly grouchy, out of touch old fucking man that does less and less. Just a self-indulgent ass. I just came home and we'll fucking watch Game of Thrones. I was in bed by midnight. But I made like $50 in like 2 hours. I'm like, I probably would have made $200. And I was so pissed because I want to get fucking my buddy gave me a loan. I told you to pay off my credit cards. And I want to fucking pay it off by the end of the year. And it's like, I'm not even close now. I was like, if I really grounded out and Ubered every weekend. But like I said, when I took the loan from, well, he practically, I'm telling you, I swear to God, I'm not fucking around. He like made me take it. But at the time I was like, well, this won't be that bad because I had so many little side gigs at work. But then my boss did away with them all. And it was just like, we got even just weird shit, like random people would hit me up to come work on stuff and I was doing pretty good. And then it just all stopped and now I have nothing. All I have left to do is Uber drive for extra money. Otherwise, I just give them money out of my paycheck. Who fucking cares about it? I fucking finance it. But, whatever. This is a roughie. Sorry. Hopefully I have a more exciting week. I've been saying it a lot lately. Okay, well, I got 10 minutes left. So, like I said, my favorite show of all time growing up was, my favorite radio show was Opie and Anthony, and they broke up. And now, like, one of the fucking, like, kind of half-serious ad campaigns they had was, you heard the best, now hear what's left. So now it's down to just Jimmy Norton. And who I've always been a huge fan of. And well, this year my fanship took a dip for him to an all-time low, honestly. And I've been he was one of the first comics I've ever seen in my life. I hated stand-up comedy. And I saw him when I was 20 or 21. And like the guy, I don't know, the guy is a comic like the chain, like he really is like a life-changing artistic force. I know it sounds ridiculous of all people on this earth, but he really did a number on me. I was just a fucking such a fan. He just like got in my bones, that guy. So now it's him and fucking stupid Sam, who's young. He's like 30. He sounds like he's fucking 12. But they just started like a week ago. This is brand new shit. Opie now they're at war with Opie. They don't like each other and they're openly fucking with each other on the air and on social media. And because I don't know, Opie seems like he's a fucking maniac and just whatever. He's just seems very difficult to work with. Doesn't have many friends in the business left. No one likes this. He's pissed off everyone in his whole career. But now you got these two. So they're on Sirius on satellite and they still have celebrities coming in. And I can't believe the shit they are saying and asking the fucking balls on these guys. And I'm like, this is what got me into the show in the first place. When I started listening, when it came out of Buffalo in 2001, when they used to be simulcast on NEW in New York, and they would just have these fucking interviews on, and they just did not give a fuck, and they wouldn't take any shit from the guests, they wouldn't kiss anyone's ass, and then like that went away, it slowly went away over time, but now it's back to these two fucking yahoos, and like, I can't believe the shit they say and ask these fucking guys. Like they had Rick Astley on, and man, never gonna give you up, and like they were. He was playing along pretty good, but they were fucking giving him a fucking really hard time, man. They are brutal. So yesterday or 2 days ago, they had Nancy Grace. And she walked out in 10 fucking minutes because they wouldn't kiss her ass and be like, don't you feel like a vulture? And like, aren't you ashamed of the way you fucking sensationalized all these murder trials and kids and everything else? And like, she just lost. I mean, how hateable is she anyways? But she walked off and they got all this attention. But, the days Opie wasn't there, everyone would tune in because they'd be like, oh, it's just Jim and Sam. But then you listen to it, like compared to podcasts and stuff where it's just people can really talk about anything they want and just pour their heart out. There's no real structure. It was like, it was so much more refreshing than anytime Jim and Sam are just nailed to this radio format where they got to be like, did you hear what's happened on the fucking insert whatever popular network show? And then they'll have beats and break the show down. And it's so structured. It was almost like watching a show on Netflix and going back and watching a show on network television. Like, that's how different they felt in tone. But I don't know. They really got dialed in fast. And they're a fucking celebrity. There's been like 3 or 4 already. But then Nancy Grace, she walked out. It was fucking great. And I was like, how great are they? I'm so fucking glad they got that vibe. So I'm like totally back on board. I don't know if you want. You can get them on YouTube for free. There's not Logan Highest Primate is the guy's name that posted every day. He posted the day after, but I haven't listened in 2 years since Anthony left because it just, when it was just opening them, it sucked. And him and Jim didn't really gel when it was just the two of them. But I don't know. I kind of got my show back. It's like a fucking mutant, awful version of it. But we had some really funny shit on there. And just, goddamn, like, no one makes me laugh like Norton. That guy fucking makes me laugh. Like, I listened to an entire 2.5-hour show. And there might be one joke half the time it's, even when I go see his stand-up, it's like one random thing that I'll say, it's not even the fucking, like, really the punchline, will make me laugh for like days. It'll make me laugh so hard like my face hurts. Like, there's like parts of my face that don't get activated. And it's just because I'm fucking laughing so hard. Like, just the random shit he'll say sometimes. But he factors so much into my stand-up. Like, so much of his fucking voice still, I still write in his voice a lot. I'll think of something that would be like, I don't know. It really infected me, and I just can't turn it off. And I'll find myself writing something, but that's such a fucking Norton-y joke. It's kind of like when you're in a band. You start out as a band playing, you know, like you're influenced by the bands that you love when you start out, and then their sound comes through your. All you know how to do is try to sound like your favorite band. That's what I'm saying. And your first couple years, that's really just all you're doing, and then you kind of find your own, you know, you kind of come together and you find your own music, but it's always inspired by that original stuff. You're always going to have some of that sound fucking bleeding through, but that's how it is with him. And I'll hear stuff and just fucking, I don't know, for better or for worse, because there's shit of his that I think is hilarious, and I'll write and be like, oh, that's a good, like, Norton style joke, but then no one here will like it. I don't know, it'll be, I think funny to me is becoming a real problem with everything. I love a very insular fucking world, and funny for me is becoming a pro. I have to turn out to be funny for you / them. That's what I'm trying to do. I don't know. It's a process. It's a weird process I'm going through. I'm like Dave at the end of fucking 2001 when he goes to the moons of Jupiter and beyond. He starts flying through all that weird shit. I'm like halfway through that right now. When I get to that room at the end, when I see 80-year-old me dying on the bed, that's when I'll really know I'm somewhere. But for now, I'm just like, it's just a bunch of random squares and shit flying to the screen with my face randomly contorted, intercut, with just weird shots of me looking all fucking grotesque. That's where I am. That's where I am in my comedy. And my comedy obelisk fucking journey. Journey. Oh, yeah, then Jimmy stole one of my jokes, that fucker, because, like, they're, whatever, no one cares about this. But Jimmy stole one of my jokes from Reddit. I mean, I don't really care. It was funny, but I was like, he fucking stole my joke. I put it on Reddit, and 2 hours later, he tweeted it. But didn't, you know, he didn't say, this is from blah, blah, blah. He just stole it. I was like, you little motherfucker. That's my joke, you prick. I guess that's kind of proud. God, this is fuck. I'm sorry about this episode. This didn't really like the old afterburners. I don't like doing it from home. I really don't. But I don't know when. I just kind of want to get it done. I didn't have all that much to work with anyway, so I tried. I don't know. I came home and I was all wired from doing those 2 fucking sets in a row and just doing a lot of kind of improv-y shit, or trying to. And I was like, I should do a podcast right now because I'm full of piss and vinegar. And I'm in riff mode. And I'm fucking, you know, I'm in the mood to talk and try to be funny. I didn't do particularly well at either of those, did I? All right, you know, cheer up. Stop being such a fucking gloomy, Gus. People know you're trying. This is hard. Entertaining is fucking tough. There's no rhyme or reason. There's no fucking instruction manual, is there? You pricks. Oh, I forgot to talk about this. Okay. This is the first point I had. I was on, speaking of Reddit, I was on Reddit movies the other day. You know what? Hang on. I need a drink. I'm going to pause this. Hang on a second. Okay, sorry. So there was a post that was something like, what was an early movie that made you think about movies or something like that? And I remember this time watching Jaws 4, The Revenge. Or no, maybe it was a post about, I think it might have just been a post about like how shitty was Jaws 4 or something like that. And I remember, when did that come out? Like 87. So I was like 7 or 8. And I remember watching it with my dad. And there's a scene at the end, towards the end, where they're the final showdown with Jaws again. The famous part where it would jump out of the water and it would scream and make dinosaur noises. Like a shark would have vocal fucking cords. For what? It's under the water all of its life. But, you know, I'm like 8. I don't know any of this shit. It was like a fun movie. I don't know. I love Jaws of Revenge just for the nostalgia of it and just because of how terrible it is. It's aged. It's one of those movies that like aged well because you loved it when you were little, but didn't know how bad it was. And then as you grow up and like, you know, mature, you still have that nostalgia, but you can appreciate how terrible it is too. So there's this part where like she comes to the son is out on the boat and they're going to have the final showdown with Jaws. So the mother wants to like help. So she has Michael Caine fly in. He's a pilot in the movie, and he's got one of those planes that can land on water. So they come to land and help the kid, but then when the plane lands, Jaws fucking eats the plane, and they think, spoiler alert, they think Michael Caine is dead, right? So they can't find him. So the mother gets on the boat after Jaws eats the plane. The mother gets out of the plane and gets out of the boat with the son. Now they can't find Michael Caine, who's like her boyfriend, and she's like, "Why did you tell him to come here?" And he's like, "I didn't." She's like, "Why did you bring him? Why did you bring him?" And she's like pounding on his chest. She's like, "I didn't tell him to come, Ma," or something like that. And he like hugs her, and she like goes into a fit, and he like has to comfort the mother. And I was watching my dad. And he goes, "God, that acting is terrible." It's like, "This is terrible." And I was like, "Why? What's wrong with it?" He's like, "Just look at it. Look how bad it is." She's like, "Do you believe her?" He's like, "This is such a bad movie." And then I was like so fascinated by that. I was like, "Why did he say that? What was terrible?" I mean, I have no, I don't know. And that I never forgot that. It stuck in my head. It's every fucking movie I watched, I would try to be like, I'd watch it and be like, is the acting bad? Like, would my dad say this is bad acting? Like, why did, what made, I just couldn't figure out what made that bad acting compared to anything else in the movie. It didn't stand out to me as anything. And it fucking put such a goddamn hook in me for my whole life. And I think that's where early, not like film criticism, but just being interested in more than just like what was happening on the fucking screen at the time happened. Like every fucking movie I'd watch, I'd try to see if there was bad acting in it. Or I'd watch stuff with my dad and wait to see if he would say and be like, is he gonna say anything about the acting here? And I remember we were watching Barbarian Brothers. Remember those fucking two stupid weightlifter guys in the 90s? They were like almost famous for a minute. They played those two truckers and they played another one where they were like Conan. They were like twin brothers. One was called Double Trouble. And we were watching the Barbarian Brothers, and they were just like, fucking, I don't know, it was just really bad dialogue. And then that one, my dad's like, this dialogue is terrible. And I was like, why? What is it? And he goes, look at the time, really. It's supposed to be medieval times. What does he say to the guy? Hey, I'm gonna lead you into this cave, okay? Let's go, buddy. And then me and my brother laughed our ass. I remember him saying like almost those exact lines. He's like, people didn't talk like that back then, and I was like, oh, he's right. Just dumb, like, it's going to be weird being a dad. There's weird little asides like that, how much effect they could have on, like, a stupid, young, weird son's life that just, I obsessed over that and just wanted to know more and more why, like, what other movies were bad and, like, I don't know, like, how come he can figure that out and I can't? It just really made me on a quest to, like, to root out bad acting and call it out. I really think that's where that fucking started. And that was kind of a non-story, but I was thinking about that the other day. It was so funny how just a dumb random comment like that just basically ruined my life and ruined your ears and just filled your ears full of just useless shit of me pontificating endlessly about movies and art and things people probably don't really give a fuck to hear my opinion on because it's a strong opinion. If you don't agree with it, then it's probably annoying that I have that opinion and you're like, what the fuck is that guy talking about? He thinks he's fucking smart and thinks he knows what he's talking about. He's some kind of fucking informed guy, and he's really not. He's just kind of a fucking stupid dude that made some kind of fucking weird observation and thinks that fucking that should be the fucking law and land. I guess everybody should fucking agree with him, like he's some kind of fucking authority. He's not an authority. He doesn't fucking know anything. He's a fucking stupid guy. Fuck him.